I started for the kingdom. Since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church. We're worshiping God and studying the book of Ezekiel. And right now we're in Ezekiel 38. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in the Lord. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. Trust in the Lord Jehovah all the days of your life. The world has never seen in the church age period what's going on. Different people have different predictions. How long COVID-19 is going to go on. What's going to happen after it's over? What's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to our economy? What's going to happen to the momentum that our president has built? What's God doing? People, this is a time to trust your faith. Trust him. God is in control. He has a plan for America. He has a plan for you. What we're studying on Wednesday night is about God's plan for Israel. And we think about Israel, think of all that they've gone through. All that they've gone through. Century after century. The Old Testament, New Testament. Start with Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 17. God made promise to Israel, you're my land. You're my people. You'll always be my people. So, throughout the history of the Old Testament, from about 2000 AD or BC when he called Abraham, up until the time of the crucifixion, and then all of the church age, all that has happened to Israel, and it's still here. He still has a plan for them. They're still in his plan. And people, God has a plan for you, and for me, for every born-again believer. You want to take advantage of that time. You want to redeem the time. Don't waste the time. Don't think that this is a put on hold and we're losing time. The only time you lose time in God's plan is when you stand still or go backward. You want to advance in His Word, studying of His Word, in prayer. Redeem the time. Washing your hands, be in prayer. With your family, be in prayer. Your children, be in prayer. Friends, be in prayer. Redeem the time. That's what I'm doing. And that's what we're doing here tonight. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, first of all, to test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Trust the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with the word of prayer and move into a great chapter in the Bible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is so exciting to see you at work. It may not look like you're doing anything, but we know you are bringing about your plan. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand about history, future, and about our life right now. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Ezekiel 38, let's begin reading verse 14, where we left off last week. Therefore, prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog. Now we know who Gog is. That's Russia. Thus says the Lord God, on that day, when my people, Israel, are living securely, you not know it? Not know that they are with protection? And decide to move in against them? Verse 15. You will come from your place, Russia, out of the remote parts of the north. You and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly, a mighty army. Now, look at the world today. Russia, a mighty fortress in the world. China, a mighty fortress in the world. Things are just shaping up for the movement of armies. Now, verse 15, you will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many people with you. Now, unlike years from 1948, when Israel became a nation, unlike that, at this time that we're studying, Israel will have no standing army, no navy, no air force. Right now they have a great navy and our air force. A great one. They won't have it. time this is fulfilled. Okay? It'll all be over. So, three times in this chapter, God makes mention that Gog is from the remote parts of the north. Three times. This will be stated a third time, in chapter 39, verse 2. So, three times God makes mention that Gog is from the remote parts of the north. Now, if you draw a line from Jerusalem to straight north, north to the North Pole, that line will come very close to Moscow. Now, don't do it right now while we're studying the Word of God, but afterwards, if you want to just see, draw a line, take a map, draw a line straight north from Jerusalem. It'll come very close to modern Moscow. Russia is the modern day country that this would be referring to. Remember, we've already studied, you got to interpret the Bible at the time in which it was written. So what was Ezekiel thinking about? Not Russia, that wasn't its name. But this is the location of Gog. See? Being in the remote parts of the north. Modern day Russia lies north of the Black Sea and is the only country north of the Black Sea. So, it's clear today, Gog is Russia. Putin, in his interference in the Middle East, is going to move Russia. He already has started moving it into Syria, Turkey, into these areas. But at this time in history, when a tribulation goes on, Russia, whoever the dictator is, communistic Russia, will move toward Israel. God's design for Israel, or for Russia. God's design for Russia. Look at verse 16. We could have a lot of fun with predestination. We could have fun with the Calvinists and all that, but let's just read verse 16 and Ezekiel 38. And you will come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days that I, God, will bring you against my land, Israel. So, I, God, will bring you, Russia, against my land, Israel. So that, very bold print, so that the nations may know me when I sanctify through you. I am sanctified through you before the eyes of Gog. Think about that. God has laid out for you in one verse what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. The movement of the troops. And you will come against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am sanctified through you before their very eyes. O Gog. Long time ago, there was an old country song. I thought about it when I was doing this. Why me, Lord? Why me? I'm sure that's when the dictator of Russia realized what's going on. Why me, Lord? Pick on somebody else. Why me? God will move en masse and come against my people. My land. Oh, you replacement theologians, you better rethink your position. Israel is God's land. And he will become his people right there in his land. People study the Bible. Genesis 12 and 17, God promised Abraham, you're going to have this land. It's going to be your land, my land. I will be your God. I will be the God of this land. Now, all the things that happened. Jump forward. Moses, stuck in Egypt, leads them across. They're ready to go into the promised land, and people, they did not believe. What happened? They roamed around for 40 years, an entire generation died. An entire generation died off because they didn't trust God. And then the next generation that was going to go in, Joshua told them, circumcise the adult males and all the males. Circumcise them. That must have been a tough 10 days. But they did it. They believed God. And they went into the land. And then we can just keep going through all of their history. Now we jump ahead to time still future to us today. And it's going to become true. Same. God's land. And he will be home. He will have this as his home for his people. Much more than what they have now, right now, people. Much more than what you see today. Now, think of the description God used to describe Russia coming to Israel. Like a cloud to cover the land. Like a cloud covering the land. I like the way Charles Dyer, D-Y-E-R, in his work on Ezekiel, describes this. Let me read it for you. This awesome army will overrun all obstacles as effortlessly as a cloud sailing across the sky. People, this is true. Until God covers them with the cloud of his own glory, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be nothing for them to come invade Israel from Russia. And then the cloud of the Lord will come in. And he'll make the move and glorify himself. This is one of the most powerful, wonderful, beautiful, assuring words by God. My people. I wish every Jew on planet Earth today knew that, believed that, but they don't. They're not that much unlike they were of the died in the wilderness journey. My people. Think about that. Think about what this is going to be. The media at this time, the liberal media at this time, they are just certain this time the Jews are going to lose. We'll report this live. The Russian army moves down toward Israel. They're coming through Syria. They've now entered the land. They're just walking over the land. The Jews have had it. It's over. No more Jews. That's what's going to be done. That's what they're going to think. That's the way they're going to record the news. Surprise. Above the cloud of Russia will come the glory of the Lord in a cloud. Never forget. Romans 11:2. If you have a moment, you got your Bible, look at Romans 11:2. It's well worth your time. It's well worth it. The church age. Never to forget Romans 11:2. God has not rejected his people. How much clearer can it be? How much clearer can it be? I'm sure that during the age of the Gentiles, Israel will think he has rejected them. But rest assured, he has not. By the way, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's not forgotten you either. He cannot forget you. You are in his Son. You're in his Son. He cannot forget you because he cannot forget his Son. It's that simple. If you believe in Jesus Christ, God placed you in his Son. And if you're in his Son, he'll never forget you. Now, today, things may not be going very well for you. Economically, physically. I understand a lot of Christians are depressed. I don't understand that. I don't understand being depressed. I'm excited. I want to see what God's going to do. I want to see what he's going to do with America, what he's going to do with our economy, what he's going to do with our president. I'm not bored at all. This is an exciting time to people. I love studying the Word of God. I love talking with my wife about what I'm studying, the Word of God. She puts me or gives me her insight. We enjoy talking about it. I hope you do. With your husband, your wife, your children, your friends. I hope you enjoy talking about the Word of God. How it relates to what he's doing now. It's exciting. What he's done in history. See? What he's done all through. Just go through. Get a book. A timeline book that lists everything that happened. And just read through it. What happened in 1150 to 1300? Oh, the Crusades. What was he doing? Jews were being persecuted, killed, slaughtered, raped. Babies ripped out of Jewish mothers. Looks like Christ forgot him. Didn't forget him. He's doing something with his plan. People, never lose sight. He is in control. Be at peace with that. Enjoy what's going on. Be excited about what's going on. Not depressed about what's going on. Okay, so here's something else I don't want you to miss. These are God's people, and an attack on them is an attack on God, against God himself. As we think of all those Christians who are martyred through church history and right up to this very day, some were killed yesterday in Nigeria and Afghanistan. Christians, just because they're Christians. These are enemies of God. And while every Christian who's martyred immediately goes home with the Lord, there's my comfort. The moment they die, they're home with the Lord. Not a good way to die. Not a pleasant way. God is not forgetting all the evil that have been perpetuated against his people in the church age. He's not forgotten it. It's just fun to watch. See what's going to happen. Now, why is God going to come to the rescue of his people? Why is God going to come to the rescue of his land? That the nations may know me when I am sanctified. Wake up, world. Wake up, nations. Know God, that he is God. Jesus is his elect. Wake up, Christian. Wake up! Quit moaning, belly aching, complaining. Get into his word. Pray, sing, trust him, read, study. He's in control. Now he comes to Magog. All those with him, all of his friends, his armies, come, and other blocks of power come against Israel to take control of Israel, to take Israel out, take all their wealth, take their land, the center of the earth. Through the centuries, Israel has time and time again been the prey of one nation or another. Against all odds, if you haven't seen, it's a series, I think it's about 8 or 9 DVDs called Against All Odds. It is fascinating. But time and time again, it's unmistakable that God moved in against those involved in trying to overtake Israel. And it's going to happen again. So over the centuries, hatred has grown against the Jews. Nations, people, have not learned from history. What we learn from history, we learn nothing from history. See, nations and people have not learned that God curses those who curses his people. God blesses those who blesses Israel. It's a simple principle, but we have not learned it. We're now moving into the period of our nation's history where leaders plot against Israel. If Trump doesn't win in November, or 4 years after, I think all hell's going to break loose. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be exciting. It's not going to be depressing. We're getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus Christ calling home the church so that he can come back to earth again and set up his kingdom. It's great. It's great. We learn nothing from history. We learn very little from the Bible. But nations have not learned about Israel and continue to try to overtake Israel over and over. Satan will lead nations during the tribulation, once again, to come against the land of Israel, to try to overtake it. See? This time, God will manifest his glory, and the whole world will see the glory of God. Now, just so you know, Revelation, not going to be that many people on earth either. A third will be taken out. The sixth seal, third seal, can be slowly being taken out. Wars and all these things. But at this time, when they move against Israel and he comes back, all the nations all over the world, Brazil, North America, Canada, Africa, India, every one of these nations will see the glory of the Lord. That's going to be wonderful. And you're going to come back with him and see this. I don't know if we'll be able to, if we'll have the privilege to be able to sing, I imagine. But it's going to be remarkable that's going on. They will not turn to him, but they will know that he is God. That's amazing. They'll turn to him as God, but they will not turn to him as their Savior. Okay. Verse 15, Ezekiel 30 and 15. And you will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north. That is Russia. The area of the world that has been kept the world in turmoil since the early 20th century. For a brief period, when Ronald Reagan put them on hold a minute, but they've been pretty much kept the world in control and fear. And the world thought they had broken the power of Russia. But in truth, we now know they didn't. Russia is right back to power. And in fact, now Russia is a world power, right, with China. World power that must be dealt with, and not by the third world power of the United States, but by God at the second advent. It's going to be exciting. Verse 16. Let's look at verse 16. And you will come up against my people. Now do not miss this. My people. Note verse 14. Verse 14, he says, on that day when my people, Israel. Verse 16, my people, my land. Since the days of Abraham and cutting of the Abrahamic covenant, the world has failed to see just how involved God is with the history of Israel. It's just amazing. Just sit back and just study the history of these Jews all the way through history. They're always there. Book of Esther, get rid of them. Pharaoh, get rid of them. Get rid of them, get rid of them. Throughout church history. Look at Spain. Inquisition. Get rid of the Jews. Of course, Hitler. Get rid of the Jews. They're still here. And they're multiplying. They're multiplying. More and more of them. So since the days of Abraham, the cutting of the Abrahamic covenant, they have been on earth and God's people. This is especially true in America, today under the new monarchy, which does not have the slightest idea how God is going to overlook Israel and is overlooking Israel, since it is concluded there is no God, political leaders in America. So, he has no idea. God has a plan for the Israel. I would really like to know if there's one Democrat, one, who understands that God is in control of Israel. Do y'all know of any? I would like to know if there's one. But I know a majority of them don't, even if you can find me one. Remember, as part of his covenant, he who curses you, I will curse. How God protects his land, his people. And this will come to full awareness when Christ intervenes at the end of the tribulation. Now, question. How? How will God bring Gog against his people? I will bring you against him. How will he do that? Does this verse teach hyper-Calvinism? Where God is in control of man's every thought, and man has no free will? Not for a second. Let's note a flow of this chapter. Stay with me. Look at this. How does God do it? How does God bring Gog against Russia? See? Alright, let's start in verse 3. In verse 3, God starts the whole movement by telling Gog that God is against him. This will excite Gog against God, and it will excite Gog against God. It is like hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Each plague caused Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. Each plague was an opportunity for Pharaoh to turn to God. Instead, he hardened his heart. So it'll be that way. Verse 4, I will turn you about, I will put hooks into your jaws, and will bring you out, setting Gog's eyes toward Israel. Excite him against the land, the center of the earth. See? 8, verse 8, you will be summoned. Gog is excited. Just as a woman excites a man, she summons him. You will come into the land, incited to action. Verse 9. You will go up. You will come. Verse 10. Thoughts will come into your mind, excited, and you will devise a plan. Verse 11. You will say, I will go up against the land. Movement from excitement to incitement. I will go against those who are at rest. Gog will be incited to act against a land that has no defense. Now verse 16. I, Jesus Christ, will bring you against my land. Now, let's take a look at this. What's going on? By the way, two English words. To excite, E-X-C-I-T-E, to incite. To incite. Now, excite means to create or cause some disturbance, some agitation. While incite means to arouse or move to action, put into motion. See? First, a woman excites a man, arousing internal emotions. Then she incites him to action. That's what's going on here. So what do we have going on between God and Gog? First, God excites. God excites Gog. Or excites Gog by pointing his attention to Israel. Its wealth. How it's the middle of the earth. How it's defenseless. It's just ripe for the taking. Gog. See? Go against Israel. Then Gog looks. He becomes incited. To action. He's incited to move. Move that army. Let's go now. And take them down. This is much like the historical situation of Pharaoh in the Bible. God states that God will harden Pharaoh's heart. Then it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Well, what's going on? Okay? Pharaoh first started hardening his own heart in a process. God gave him the opportunity to respond, brought a plague on, and instead of causing Pharaoh to respond to the Lord, he hardened. And then another plague, hardened. Another plague, hardened. Just kept hardening. See? So 10 plagues. With each one, Pharaoh could have repented and said, yes! Instead, he hardened his heart the more. God hardened his heart by giving him opportunity after opportunity. He hardened his own heart by saying no. That's what's happening to Russia. Verse 16. And you will come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It will come about in the last days that I shall bring you against my land in order that, purpose of God, in order that the nations, not only those who march against Jerusalem, but all the nations of the world, in Brazil, South America, India, all over the world, all the nations of the world may know me. Here's the course of history to know him. People, that's what history is about, knowing him. I hope you know him. I hope you know him today. I hope you're not tormented by everything going on in the world. You're at peace. You know him. He's in control. He's working all things to his good, to his plan. You know, they may know me. Here is the course of history to know him. Now, you can know God in one of two ways in context. One, by responding to the word of God. I see who he is, I respond. That's one way you can. But those who reject him, they will know him, not as Savior, but as a true God who rules all history, and the true God who will be victorious at the end of time. How will they know him? By his power. His omnipotent power. His victory in the battle. They will stand amazed and fall on their knees. You can know God, his love by his son's death on the cross, or you can know him by devastating power. You can know him by his power and control of what's going on with COVID-19, or you can know him by his power and COVID-19. It's up to you. It's up to you. You want to live in fear? Know him that way. Be at peace? Know him that way. Let's identify the last phrase. When I, Jesus Christ, shall be sanctified through you, Gog, in their eyes, all the people on earth, O Gog. This does not mean in any way that Gog intended to sanctify our Lord or to be sanctified by him. But God deals with mighty Gog to sanctify himself in the world. When I shall be sanctified, future. Future to us today. But people, it's going to happen. He's going to be sanctified near the end of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon. The Hebrew word sanctified means to be set apart as to who you are. To be set apart as to who you are. Jesus Christ is sanctified. So what does this mean? It means he will be set apart at the end of the battle of history by defeating all the enemies of the world. The whole world will come to glorify Jesus Christ. There's going to be, I don't want to get too much involved in Revelation, there's going to be two baptisms of fire. Baptism of fire for all unbelieving Jews. Take it off the earth. There's going to be a baptism of fire for all unbelieving Gentiles removed from the earth. Who will that lead to go into the millennium? Believers only. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Believe on Jesus Christ if they don't. Believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Know that he is in control. Know that he has a plan. Be part of his plan. Same. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be, his wrath is going to be unbelievable. But it's coming. And you want to be ready for it. Now, the movement by Gog and all the other armies will result in a victory by the commander Jesus Christ. He will make it clear to all that he is in control of history. He is in control of the nations of the world. Three great battles between Jesus Christ and the adversary Satan. One, in eternity past. In eternity past, when Satan rebelled against God, tried to set up his kingdom. I will be like God. And there was a great battle. He lost, put into the liquid freeze zone with all the fallen angels. That was the first battle. Second battle, great battle, the cross. Satan was defeated. Oh, he thought he was winning. When he saw Jesus Christ walking on the streets in Jerusalem, heavy laden with his own cross, Satan went, yes! Yes, we're doing it! When the Romans nailed his hands and feet to the cross, Satan was sure he has won. And when they took the cross, lifted it up in the sky between heaven and earth, Satan knew he had won. Just knew it. Took him off the cross, buried him. Satan won. 3 days, Three nights later, he rose. Satan knew he had lost. And then there's a great war in the future. All the enemies of the human race will know Jesus Christ is omnipotent. And Satan lost again. Now, there'll be one more, but I want you to understand something. That last one, at the end of the millennium, isn't a battle. There's not going to be a battle. Satan will be released. He'll lead people against Jesus Christ, unbelievers, rebel against Christ, and Christ will just say, that's it. You're through. And that'll be the end of the millennium. Then there'll be the great white throne judgment. So, this is what's going to happen. Now, we go to verses 17 through 23. God's final victory over Satan. Now, when I say final, I'm not talking about at the end of the millennium. See? But God's final victory over Satan in this conflict. Annihilation of the enemy. Please note that God always wins. You will never win if you go against the plan of God. Morally, economically, spiritually, you will never win if you go against the plan of God. It may seem like you're winning sometime, but dear people, you're not going to win. Years ago when we did the book of Revelation, I gave out a book about like that of introduction. And the first page you saw was big words, God wins. So we took the end and made it the beginning of this book, of the book of Revelation. God wins. Just relax. God wins. See? Now, let's see. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 38, verse 17. Let's read it together. Verse 17 through 23. Thus says the Lord God, are you the one of whom I spoke in former days through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? It will come about on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger, in my zeal, and in my blazing wrath. I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish and the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down. The steep pathways will collapse. Every wall will fall to the ground. Think about what's going to happen. I will call for my sword against them. On my mountains, declares the Lord God, every man's sword will be against his brother. With pestilence and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain on him and all of his troops and on many peoples who are with him a torrential rain with hailstones and fire and brimstone. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know I am the Lord. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 is really interesting verse from the perspective of its writing here. The Lord is speaking to someone in the future, looking back to the time of writings of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Joel. Look at it. Thus says the Lord God. Stop right there. This is the fifth time, just in chapter 38, where this prophecy is declared to be the word of the Lord. The fifth time. Dear people, please pay close attention to the word of the Lord in your own life. In your own life. Your growth in the word of God. Your morality. You're studying the word of God. You're telling others of Jesus Christ. Your prayer life. The importance of increasing in the knowledge of God, Colossians 1:10. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Of course, the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. The phrase, thus says the Lord God, is said 7 times in just chapters 38 and 39. Another 8 times, the 8 times declares the Lord God. So I hope you get it. I think every one of you get the message that he wants you to know he's speaking. He's prophesying. Now, what's the question? What's the question? What is the Lord asking? Well, what, who, and how? First, who? First, who? Take a look. Are you addressing Gog, talking to Gog, are you the one of whom I, Jesus Christ, spoke in former days through my servants, prophets of Israel? Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14 and following, Jeremiah 3 through 6, Joel 2 and 3, Zechariah 14, Daniel 2, 44, 45. So you see what he's saying? He's at the time this is going to happen. And he said, are you the one of whom I, Jesus Christ, spoke in former days that we're studying through my servants, the prophets of Israel? Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Joel, Zechariah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Who prophesied in those days? The days that we're studying. See? The days they prophesied. For many years. Jeremiah. Zephaniah. Joel. Zechariah. Daniel. All these years. A lot of years take place. So he says, for many years. Spanning the time of the prophecy. Now, the what? That. The who? Now the what? That. Here's what they prophesied. I, Jesus Christ, would bring you, Gog, future to the prophesying, and reveal that Jesus Christ is in control against them. Israel, the answer to the question in verse 17 is an affirmative one. From here, we have the second coming of Jesus Christ, not as an humble Savior, but as a conquering general to destroy the enemies of Israel. Now look at verse 18. What? What? And it will come about, absolute prophecy. Do you believe it or not? I believe it. I'm excited about it. On that day, the day of the Lord, that we have been studying all along, when Gog comes against Israel, the land of Israel, Satan moving all the people against Israel, declares the Lord God, Jesus the Christ. That, okay, this is what is going to happen. In answer to what? That. The Lord uses three Hebrew words. This is a beautiful verse. He uses three beautiful words to describe what is going to happen on the day of the Lord. Look at them. The day of the Lord at the end of the tribulation. First word used to describe what is Allah, A-L-A-H, which means to go up. His fury will mount up. Here's translated mount up. be lifted up higher than it's ever been lifted before in history. His fury will be lifted up. This is going to be unbelievable in the annals of military history. But you know what? They're not even going to study in the millennium. They're going to be having too much fun. There'll be no wars, no rumors of wars, nothing. The lion and the lamb will lie down together, and that excites a lot of people. Doesn't turn me on, but that's what God's going to do. Okay? Now look at it. My fury will mount up in my anger. A great anthropomorphism. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save and deliver Israel from the invasion of the north. The northern bloc, Gog. See? Just as Jesus Christ is the only one who can save mankind, protect you during COVID-19. See? Don't depend on the government. Depend on the Lord. His will for your life will be done. People, if he plans on you getting COVID-19, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. If he plans on you being healed from it, you'll be healed. If not, you'll go home to be with the Lord. What's so bad about that? My fury. This is the second word. The Hebrew is kama, which means heat, rage, poison, even venom, used of man and of God. God becomes so angry against Satan and his move to overtake the world, to overtake Israel. People, you think the Great Flood was something? You think Sodom and Gomorrah was something? You haven't seen anything yet. This is going to be unbelievable. And we'll be coming back with him to see it. We'll just be up in the sky watching. It's going to be unbelievable. See? Do not let anyone tell you there is no righteous wrath from God. Please don't let anyone ever tell you that. You will see it in history. And you will see it for all eternity in the lake of fire. Please never forget the completeness of all that God is. Do not get stuck, bogged down on his love. He's a righteous God. His wrath comes from his righteousness. Never forget that. You reject his righteousness. You reject his love. You will feel his wrath. In closing, look at Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 5. I can't believe we're almost through and I'm just getting wound into this. This is a great verse. Romans 2, 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's what they're doing right now. Everyone who rejects God right now, rejects Christ as Savior, this is what they're doing. Storing up wrath. People, eternity is wrath. The lake of fire is eternal wrath. You can have eternal heaven with Christ, responding to his love, or you can experience eternal wrath. He is a God of wrath. He's a God of love. That's why he sent his son to the cross. You reject his son, you'll get his wrath for all eternity. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up for yourself, wrath for yourself, in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And back in our verse it says, we'll mount up, Allah, to go up, ascend, to take away, to life. God's righteousness, His righteous indignation, rises up. Now, the third word will come to next week, in my anger. This is a horrible place to leave. My goodness, what kind of preacher are you, Herman? This is terrible. People, it's truth, it's fact. Ezekiel prophesied it. Isaiah prophesied it. Daniel prophesied it. Zephaniah prophesied it. It's truth. Please know it. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell anybody you care about Jesus Christ and about His marvelous grace that we're studying on Sunday morning. His grace is marvelous. His love is marvelous. But if you don't want His love, if you don't want to be benefited by His love, you'll be benefited by His wrath. It's that simple. Okay, we'll resume here next Wednesday night. We'll continue this study. Now, I don't know when we're going to be able to come back to church. I was hoping it would be this Sunday coming up, but it isn't. The governor says no. Dallas is the second worst hit with COVID-19. Harris County, Houston, is the worst. And it would break my heart if anyone were to get COVID-19 coming to church. That'd break my heart. That you came to worship God here and got COVID-19. I just can't have that. Especially when we can do it this way. We're worshiping God together. Worshiping God. And I found out a new way, and we're going to take our communion. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun when we do take communion, when we come back together. And apparently there's a Christian bookstore that sells little packs, and everybody gets their own little pack when they come in the door. And we'll have to have it first. And it's supposed to be really cool. So I'm going to check into it, and we'll have communion together when we're able to come together. But right now we'll worship God together, studying His Word together, here, this way. I'm thankful we can do it. I'm thankful for Jeff Harrison. I'm thankful for Kit Sheehan. I'm thankful for Julie Cooper doing all of this work and getting things ready for when we are back together. We're still going to do this for you sacrilegious people. That's people who lay in the sack and did the religion in the sack, and those who are out of the state and out of the area but still want to worship with us. So we'll do that. We have a lot of things going on. I'm just excited. I'm not depressed. I am depressed that I don't get to see you. I miss you. I miss you falling asleep in class. I miss you looking at your watch when I've gone over time like now. Say, I love you. So much I don't want to take a chance of anyone getting sick. So, this coming Sunday, 9:30, we'll be back with Spiritual Love is Not Arrogant. Then, 15 minutes after that class, so 50 minutes or so, we'll be studying Understanding Grace. Few people understand grace, I'm sorry. So we need to do that. We'll do it by the internet here, by Facebook and YouTube and all this type of things going on. And worship God together and look forward to the day when we come back together and worship God together, sing together, all these wonderful things that we enjoy doing. So you have a good night's rest. Be ready for Sunday morning, 9:30. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, wow. Thank you for reminding us you're in total, complete control. No surprises. Not for an hour, not for a minute. Not in what's going on with COVID-19, in America, in the world, now it's going on with China, Russia, India, Nigeria, in America. You're in control. Strengthen us, Father. Let us know you're in control. Give us peace from your Spirit. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.